Recording? Okay, so let's get started with Simon Kuf. Hey, oh, we're doing two recordings in that one too. Okay, so Simon Kuf Hey starts. We're only going to do Sif Aleph today and probably not even cover all of the topics in Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph is about Kavash Kum Uvushal, the principle of Kavash Kum Uvushal, meaning it's accepted and it's the norm that in order for time to transfer from one thing to the other, you need heat. However, there are certain exceptions to that rule. One of those exceptions is Kavash Kum Uvushal. We have an exception called Davar Charef Utuch De Sakina. There are exceptions to the rule of Meliach Kiroseach. There are exceptions to the rule that heat is the only way for time to transfer from one thing to the other. So the Gemara in many, many places, in Maseches Pesachim and a couple of places in Maseches Chulin, tells us that Meliach Hareu Kiroseach and Kavash Hareu Kimavushal. That when something is salted together, that's like it's boiled up together, it's like heated together, and Kavash is as if it's cooked together. When something pickles in something else, when something is pickling in a juice, you take a cucumber and you put it in brine to become a pickle, so that is like cooking the cucumber. It absorbs the tam, that's in fact true, that it absorbs the tam of the vinegar and everything around it, the pickling that changes the taste of the cucumber. So the Rush in the last parak of Masechet Avodah Zarah in Siman Yud Aleph asks about achbar shenafal l'shichra, that it should be mutter because it's cold in cold, right? Meaning we just got through Siman Kuf Dalet and we really only raised one issue about Siman Kuf Dalet. That what about osin tam of gam? So we had the whole discussion: is that true? Is it always osin tam of gam? What if it's different creatures, and what if it's different liquids? What about the other issue, the fact that it's tzonin b'tzonin? So the Rush answers that if the achbar was sitting in that beer for 24 hours, it's kavash kumavushal, and therefore even if it's tzonin b'tzonin, even though it's all cold, it's still going to be able to be no saint tam. And then you have to discuss, is it no saint tam l'shvach, and do I need rov, or do I need shishim v'chulei? So we have this principle called Kavash Kum Uvushal. The Gemara tells it to us. The Rush applies it to the case of Achbar as well. Is this a principle, Mida Oraisa? And this does come up. Kavash Kum Uvushal is not as uncommon as one might think. Most commonly, it comes up not with food, but with kelim. And when it does come up with food, most commonly it's basar b'chalav, it's not tarovas, meaning it's not iser. Give me a case of Kavash Kum Uvushal that come up. Anyone ever have a kavash kum uvushal, Shaila? No heat and just something soaking in something or sitting in something? So marinade. So let's say you marinate your meat in a sauce and then or in a dressing, and the dressing is you look at the bottle of dressing afterwards, OUD. Great, my chicken's been sitting in this OUD dressing. So no one's ever going to eat that, right? No one would ever eat that. They throw it out before they ask the shayla, right? You're not going to ask the shayla and then you tell them to rinse it off. Not going to happen. They throw it out automatically. What's the shayla? Right, the shayla is the kli. Meaning, since it was kavush, so do I assume that that's like a basar b'chalav that was mevushal together, and I cooked it, and I only realize it afterwards, meaning they'll either ask the shayla after dinner's over, and they've already eaten it, and then they realize, or they'll just totally throw out the food, because they realize beforehand. But the question is a kashering of the pot question. By the way, just a little rabbinic trick, always call the OU. Because usually it's batel b'shishim, meaning the milk content of the dressing or whatever is usually batel b'shishim, and whoever takes care of that company will know that information. Obviously they're going to write OUD on it. They write OUD even when it's dairy equipment, but for sure when there's actual milk in it, they have to write OUD on it. But before you tell someone to throw out all the kelim in their house, before you say go, you have to burn your whole house down, it's better to know what the mitzvah is. So that's one common case. Another common case is that there's a spill in someone's refrigerator or freezer. So you have a pot, with chicken soup sitting in the refrigerator, and the milk that was right next to it spilled, and the pot is sitting on a pool of milk. And it could be sitting that way for 24 hours. You go away for the weekend, you come back, or you go away for the weekend, and there was a blackout while you were gone. Your whole freezer melted. So now you have meat or at least meat kalim that have been soaking in ice cream that's been melted over the weekend, right? We assume kavush kumavushal, or the husband decided to help. That's always one of the problems. He decided to help and he put away the Shabbos leftovers in plastic containers, and he used all of the milicha containers to put away the Shabbos leftovers. So you have meat sitting in the milicha containers with sauce or with gravy or whatever, sitting in these milicha containers. Are those containers now going to be treif? And is the meat going to be treif? Did it absorb the blios from the milicha containers? So those are the common type of kavush kumavushal questions. But let's take a look at the sugya. So first thing you always have to discuss in any sugya is this a principle midaraisa, or is this a principle midarabanan? So the Gemara in Pesachim says that we don't apply kavush kumavushal by basar b'chalav. Right? The Gemara is explicit about this. The Gemara alludes to it in Maseches Chulin, but it's explicit in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tries to find out what is the chidush of basar b'chalav. So in Chulin, the Gemara says, yeah, basar b'chalav is chidushu. The Gemara in Pesachim gets more specific. Chidushu, why is it a chidush? Because you could soak it all day. Meat could be soaking in milk all day, and it's not going to be asr. And yet, you cook it together, and then it becomes asr. You cook it together 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, they becomes basar b'chalav. So that is considered a chidush. Why is that a chidush? Because normally, when something soaks in something else all day, it does give time, and it will asr. So the chidush of basar b'chalav is unlike by every other area of macholos asuros. Soaking all day is not going to asr. So the Rishonim point out that from the fact that it's considered a chidush on a doraisa level, it seems to me that the assumption is that kavush kumavushal is a chidush midoraisa, is bishul midoraisa b'shari surin, that we would consider it to be actually true for shari surim on a daraisa level. So in Hilchos Taroves, kavush kumavushal is daraisa. In Hilchos Basar B'chalav, kavush kumavushal is not. I mean, the whole chiddush is that it doesn't apply. Doesn't apply midaraisa, but it would still apply midarabanan. So in Hilchos Basar B'chalav, it's beferish in the Gemara, the kavush kumavushal is not true on a daraisa level in Hilchos Basar B'chalav. It is mevur from the Gemara that kavush kumavushal does apply in Hilchos Taroves. And we assume that there's an issur derabanan of kavush kumavushal in basar b'chalav. Nafkamina, obviously is safek kavush, which is very relevant in terms of figuring out the gedarim of kavush. Sometimes, let's say you assume, we're going to work with this assumption for now, that 24 hours is what defines kavush. You came home after a long weekend away, the freezer had whenever there was a blackout, the freezer, everything melted. You don't know how long the meat has been sitting in the ice cream, or the meat has been sitting in the milk. You have no idea how long it's been. So now you have a safek kavush. So if it's safek kavush is in dine basar b'chalav, so you're going to be mekel safek derabanan l'kula. But if it's in tarovas, so you're going to be machmir. The Darkei Moshe in Os Aleph writes, Kasav b'isr v'hetar ha'aruch kal lamid, kol kavush kumavushal daraisa, v'lachain, savich im nichbash yom shalim, sveiko daraisa l'chumra. Aval kavush basar b'chalav v'drabanu sveiko drabanu l'kula. And therefore, in Simen Kofei, Sif Aleph, the Rama says exactly that savich kavush is asr, except for basar b'chalav, azina l'kula, because minat Torah, it's only, basar b'chalav is only asr with bishul mamish. Now, although we say savich daraisa l'chumra by kavush kumavushal in Hilchos Taroves, there may be exceptions to the rule. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes two potential exceptions to the rule. First, the Pesachei Tshuva points out from the Plesi that Dafka b'safik sheyesh kan beiz chatichos, achas nichbash meis le'eis, va'achas b'pachos, v'lo yadinan mihu ha'nichbash meis le'eis, tav yisfeko asir. When do I say safek daraisa l'chumra by kavush kumavushal? If I have two chatichos, what's my safek? One of them definitely had kavisha, the other one definitely was not kavush. Right? I just don't know which one is which. So that's where I'm going to say safek daraisa l'chumra. But, says the Plesi, if you only have one chaticha, like the case where we come back from a long weekend and we open up the freezer and everything's melted and you only have one chaticha about which you're mesupak. It's not a chaticha achas mibeis chatichos. It's one chaticha, then you have a cheskas kashrus that the chaticha had. all the meat in my fridge was kosher when I left for the weekend, so I have that cheskas kashrus, and therefore even on a suffik kavush we're going to be able to be mekel in combination with the chazakah. The Pesachei Teshuva then quotes the crazy case, which I think we saw back in 7 Pei Zayin, the case of the which case I'm talking about. He quotes from a Teshuvas pre Tevua Simon Chafei about the well digger. There was a guy digging a well, and apparently it is a dangerous profession to dig a well because the guy fell in. And the next morning they're like, "Hey, where's the well digger today? Where is he?" No one, they couldn't find him. And then they look down, and there he is in the pool of water in the bottom of the well. So their first shaila is, once they remove the body, can we drink the water? Right? Is he kavush in the water? You're not allowed to eat a human being. So did the tam of the human go into the water, and therefore trafe up the water? Sometimes when I give dafyomi, I get like emails from people. Like today, we spoke about did daf yet? Not yet. So spoiler alert. There's a shivcha that zarek nefel labar. Did daf yet? No? Okay. So the ma'isa b'shivcha achas that took a nefel and threw it into to a bar. So some people email me, how could you just read that? How could you just read about a woman throwing a nafel into a bar and not stop and say how sad it is and have to give a little hesped, in the middle of the daf? I'm like, I got 40 minutes, all right? I don't have time to get emotional. It's also not like most of the time when these things come up, it's a theoretical construct, right? We're not talking about it. This happens, I've been to Maisa, actually. Maisa, but still. So you read this Pesachei Teshuva. I'm sure at the time it was very sad. I'm sure it was. But you know what else was sad? Probably that they had no water in the whole community and they were all going to dehydrate. It was probably a situation of major shasat chak, and they needed to know, can they have the water from this bar? So Pesachei Teshuva quotes that it's just good to know, it's good to know your audience, because sometimes if you talk about these things, people who aren't versed in Talmudic discourse will be very put off by this. They'll be like, "Well, what is this? Why are you so insensitive? How could you mention the word Eved and not acknowledge the fact that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves and that Avdus is so a Rebbe in the yeshiva came over to me last year. He said that someone he knows listens to the Daf Yom Yishir and was so upset that I just mentioned an Eved and I just translated and explained the Gemara. So again, I don't know what to do about it, but other than recommend a different shear to the fellow. But the Pesachei Teshuva quotes this case: the fellow had fallen into the bar, and his body was there for what may have been 24 hours. They didn't have security footage. They didn't have the security cameras go back and see when he fell into the bar. So he was a suffek kavush. So he's makel because it's only a suffek kavush. It's an ilchus tarov, it's kavush kimavushal, but it's chaticha achas. So the water was becheskas kosher. So since the water had cheskas kashrus, so you could be mekel. Plus, he said it's only an isra asay, it's not a los asay to eat people. Right? Cannibalism is only an isra asay. I think we discussed this when we were talking about different types of basar. Right? That's how Rabbi Feldman always gives the case that the waiter comes and offers you. Pig, offers you chazer. Is it better to eat the chazer or better to eat the waiter? Right. So halachically speaking, it's better to eat the waiter, assuming he drops dead on the spot. You can't kill him. But it's hilchus kashrus, it's better to eat the waiter. But hilchus human being, right? It would seem that it's better to eat the chazer. But be that as it may, it's only an esrasei. So since it's only an esrasei, he was makel based on those factors. So that's one exception. Yeah.
What if you would have two pieces? We have a cheskas kashrus on one of the two pieces.
L'chora, it's all about the chazaka. It's not about the.
So I'm saying, if you had the chazaka on one piece, would that be enough, or you need the chazaka on both?
What do you mean?
You don't have a chazaka. One of them, you know exactly where it came from. You know you have a cheskas kashrus, and the other one, you have no clue. But you have two pieces in front of you. Now it's a
suffix
of how long it's been sitting in the.
No, I mean the chatichah chesbi beis chatichah. They both had a cheskas kashrus, but one of them. But I know for sure that one of them is treif. Meaning, I know for sure one of them is actually kavush. But the beis chatichah is that, right? That's what it accomplishes. Yeah.
Is there no reisa in the chazaka that there's like a dead body in the water?
Right, but you know, the chazak de meikar was that there wasn't a dead body in the water. The chazak de meikar is stronger than the chazak de hashta. That there is the body.
What do we mean by kavush deoraisa? Is that bishul deoraisa and nesinas tam deoraisa?
Oh, so if, as far as tarovus is concerned, we mean nesinas tam, right? We're gonna have to see if those two are the same. Meaning, what about hilchas Shabbos, right? In hilchas Shabbos, will we say that it's also bishul? Right, that's the question, right? So we'll get there. So we're going to have to see, can we bring rayas from Hilchas Shabbos? Maybe if I could see what the halach is by Kavish and Hilchas Shabbos, so if it's Bishul D'Oraisa, it will be Kavish D'Oraisa over here also, or maybe not. So we'll have to see. Wherever Bishul is relevant, we'll have to see. So that's one exception to this rule, that Savik D'Oraisa L'Chumra by Kavish Kavim Bishul. So again, so far we had the exception that if it's Chaticha Achas Mives Chatichos, so that's the only time where we're going to say Savik D'Oraisa L'Chumra, but if it's just Chatichachos with the Chaschas Heter, so then we're not going to say Kavish Kavim Bishul Midoraisa, that to be Machmir and Savik D'Oraisa. Second exception, Pizchei Tshuva quotes from a Nedvi Yehuda in Yoredeya, Simin Chavav, where he suggests that not all items transfer tam with kavush. So those items that are not explicitly mentioned in the Gemara and Poskim about kavush can be makel by Safek kavush, because it's really a Svek Sveka. Meaning, different. Everything transfers time when you cook it together. Not everything transfers time just by one thing sitting inside of another thing, soaking inside of another thing's juices. So it's really a svek sveka. Maybe these items aren't subject to kavish in the first place, and even if they are, maybe there was no kavisha. So that's another kula that emerges from that pischei tshuva. Now that we've discussed whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, and the halach is pretty clear that kavush k'mavushal seems to be a din d'oraisa in taroves, and very clearly can at most be a d'rabbanan in basar b'chalav. What is the geder of kavush k'mavushal? Meaning exactly the question that someone asked on the Zoom. The basic hakira is k'mavushal in this context. Does it mean, you know, in general, whenever you have kid? Right? Does kir mean the equivalent of, the exact equivalent of, or does it mean similar to? Right? Shomea ke'one. Is it mamish, the same thing as, or similar to in certain respects? Kavush k'mavushal, is it mamish bishul, or is it similar to bishul in certain respects? Namely, in that blios can transfer through kavush, similar to the way that blios can transfer through bishul. So perhaps kavush k'mavushal means kavush transfer taste similar to how bishul transfer taste, but it's not actually bishul. Or maybe kavush is an actual alternate form of bishul. So if you assume it means similar to, then I understand why we're not going to apply kavush k'mavushal by basar b'chalav, because lo sevashal di b'chalav imo indicates that it has to be a ma'isa bishul to create basar b'chalav midaraisa. That it's not only about blios that create basar b'chalav midaraisa. They need bishul to create basar b'chalav midaraisa. So kavush is not begeder bishul, therefore you didn't have bishul. So mela, it's not going to be an issue by basar b'chalav. But when it comes to shari surin, where it's a blia of the isser that's going to cause the problem, and we apply tam ki ikr, so then even if it's not bishul, there's no requirement that you have. They have bishul. Now, if you hold kavush is k'mavushal mamish, then basar b'chalav is a real problem. Meaning, how are you going to explain why basar b'chalav is not k'mavushal? You know, why would there be a difference between basar b'chalav and tarovis if it actually fits the geder of bishul? So, what you have to say is that even if kavush is k'mavushal mamish, it only means that kavush is a form of a tolda of bishul. So in those areas that we care about toldos, that toldos matter, kavush is like a tolda of bishul. But in basar b'chalav, if we don't worry about toldos of bishul, then there's no isur midaraisa of kavush by basar b'chalav. The Prima Gadim in the Mishpatos Zavan and the Sifsei Das over here says that it's not k'bishul mamish. That kavush k'mavushal is similar to, not the equivalent of, it allows for the transfer of blios, and that's it. Mishra Brura and Simen Tav Samech Aleph Sivkat Yad Zayin says that you shouldn't soak matzah me'es la'es before the seder. You shouldn't soak matzah in water me'es la'es before the seder. Why? Because kavush k'mavushal, and matzah that's cooked is no good for the mitzvah. So in Sharat Siyun, in Sivkat and Chav Chesov, there he says that the Prima Gadim is Mefakpek Bezeh, because he says, who says that it's Mavushal? It's not Mavushal, it's Mavliya, it's Maflit. Okay, so the matzah absorbed tam of the water that it's soaking in. Big deal. Matzah always has tam of water. That's how you make matzah with flour and water. It's Mavliya, it's Maflit, says the Sharat Siyun in the name of Prima Gadim. But it's not Mevashel, this is Prima Gadim L'shitaso. Prima Gadim in Aruch Chaim says the same thing he says over here. The Aruch HaShulchan Sif Tezvav and the Plesi say no. Kavush is Kumavushal Mamish. Not similar to, but equivalent of, exact equivalent of Bishal. So essentially, three possibilities what Kavush Kumavushal means. Literally Bishal, which seems to be the assumption of the Plesi, or initially seems to be an assumption. A Tolda of Bishal, which is ultimately the assumption of the Plesi. Or similar to Bishul in a way that it is Mavliya, but not actually Begeder Bishul, even on a Tolda level, which is a Prima Gadim. So in order to figure out who's right about this, right, is Kavush Kimavushal, is it really Begeder Bishul, we have to look around in Kala Torah Kula and see whether it has a din of Bishul in other areas of Torah. So let's take a look at four different places where something similar might come up. So one raya is the one that we mentioned before, Hilchas Shabbos, right? Whenever you think Bishul, first thing you got to think about is Hilchas Shabbos. You think about Bishul Akum also, that's all the Mitzvah Rabbanan, so you got to think about Hilchas Shabbos. So is it usher to do Kavush on Shabbos? On the surface, it's always going to be difficult to make an equation between Hilchas Shabbos and Tarovus as far as Kavush is concerned. Why? Because we're working with the assumption, we haven't discussed it in detail yet, we will soon, Bez Hashem, but we're working with the assumption that at how long does it take for Blios to transfer through Kavush? 24 hours. So how are you going to do that on Shabbos? I mean, by the time it transfers, it's not Shabbos anymore. So what exactly is it also to do on Shabbos? You're not allowed to start soaking it? I'm not allowed to dip my meat in ketchup or whatever because it's going to start a bishul process? Yeah, I have meat that's a dover gush, right? So it's, let's say, has a din of a kli rishon. It's boiling hot. I cannot put it in ketchup because it's starting a bishul of the ketchup. Well, the truth is, it might be, but okay. But if you're assuming that it's kavush would be even if it's cold, right? I'm not allowed to put cold meat in ketchup, right? If it were hot, then taka is a problem, Posen say. I'm not allowed to put cold meat in ketchup because it's starting the process of kavush. It's never going to finish by the time when it's still Shabbos. So it seems like it's something that's not even worth discussing as far as Hilchas Shabbos, but that's actually a major discussion in Hilchas Shabbos. Can I do something that will become a malacha if that malacha will not come to fruition on Shabbos itself? This is a major discussion in the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch about the malacha of Zareya, right? Because there's one malacha that seems pretty clear that it's not going to finish on Shabbos, that it's not going to happen, it's not going to be completed on Shabbos, the result at least is not going to be completed on Shabbos, and I'm still not allowed to do it on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to plant on Shabbos. There are no roots that are growing on Shabbos. You know, so late in the day, I start planting, or any time during the day, I start planting on Shabbos. So the discussion in the Chassidim of Rashash is, can I rip it out of the ground, right? If I rip it out of the ground, is it, did I undo the malacha, right? Have I avoided violating the malacha? Do I say, well, since it's only going to take root after Shabbos anyway, so it must be that it's just the Gzeres HaKosov, that Zareya is different, that there's such a din d'oraisa that that's called a malacha, even though it's not going to actually happen on Shabbos? Or do you say that it's not going to be a malacha unless it actually takes root? So the carryover, that discussion, is Zorei an exception? Or is it, would you say, by any malacha, if I start cooking late Shabbos afternoon and it's not going to get cooked until after Shabbos, So to what extent we compare all malachas to Zareya, where clearly there's no effect on Shabbos itself, so that's a major discussion of Shabbos, but the truth is it's all irrelevant, because you can come up with a case of Kavush Kamavushal that happens almost immediately on Shabbos. And that is what we're going to see soon. Again, we haven't discussed in detail yet, but depending on the liquid that you're using, if you're using a brine, a pickling juice, something that's more charif, something that has a little more sharpness, a little more kick to it, so that can create Kavush Kamavushal in way less than 24 hours. How much less, we'll have to discuss, but way less than 24 hours. So then the question becomes, okay, now I do that kind of Kavush. Is that going to be Asr on Shabbos? Comes along the Rambam. Hilcha Shabbos Perchav Beis Halacha Yud. And the Rambam writes, Kovesh Kavashim B'Shabbos is Asr. So the question is, what does Rambam mean? Right? Is it Asr Midaraisa or Asr Midrabanan when you're Kovesh Kavashim B'Shabbos? So this is a Machlokes Achronim. Prima Gadim says, gotta be Drabanan. It's gotta be Drabanan. He says, I'll bring you a clear Raya. Where the Rambam arranges the Sefer logically. And the Rambam has the Isurim Drabanan of Shabbos together and the Isurim Daraisa of Shabbos together. And in Perichav Beis, he's talking about Isurim Drabanan of Shabbos. He's not talking about Isurim Daraisa of Shabbos. If he wanted to talk about actual Bishul, it would have been in Perik Tes of Hilcha Shabbos. So based on the placement within the Rambam, in Perichav Beis, says the Prima Gadim, it's got to be that it's an Isur Drabanan, not an Isur Da'oraisa. Rabbi Yonis and Aipshitz disagrees. And he says, no, Kovish Kvashim Shabbos, Isur Da'oraisa. So this is the placey, right, Lishitaso, that Kovish is Kumavushal, Mamish Bishul. It's Mamish Bishul on Shabbos as well. Why doesn't it work for Basar B'Chalav? Why do we not say Kavish Kavushal Basar B'Chalav? Because yes, it's Mamish Bishul, but it's Mamish a Tolda of Bishul. It's not the Av, and Toldos of Bishul don't work for Basar B'Chalav. Basar B'Chalav is only the Avos of the Av of Bishul, not the Toldos of Bishul. So that's one place where you might want to look to bring a Raya in this Machlokes Prima Gadim and Placey, and sure enough, you know, they follow their Shitos, meaning they're consistent in Hilcha Shabbos to what they say over here, that the Prima Gadim says Kavush is similar to, but not quite Bishul, and the place says Kavush is literally Bishul. Yeah, so that we have to go back to the discussion of what's the yisur of Bishul Basar B'Chalav. Meaning, it could be that the Chiddush Akra that there's Toldos and Avos is only in Hilcha Shabbos, right? I mean, not only in Hilcha Shabbos, you have in the first half of Bava Kamma, but by Tumah Taharah as well. But it could be that Toldosein Kayotzi Ben is in Hilcha Shabbos, and by everything else, Toldosein is Lav Kayotzi Ben, which would mean that it's not going to be Asr to begin with. Well, it's derech that kind of bishul, meaning it's not derech the actual, you know, the av bishul. Another place to look is the sugya in the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, where it talks about maror. So, you know, the Mishnah lists what you're allowed to use for maror. So we'd be remiss if we don't point out that, you know, that horseradish, if it's on the list, if you believe it's on the list, is what is it, number three or four down on the list? It's not. It's not the first one on the list. First item on the list is lettuce, right? That's the ideal thing to use for maror. There's a discussion in contemporary poskim: should the lettuce dafka have to taste bitter? That's a Chazon Ish shita. So you should leave the lettuce to get old a little bit and to get, like, you know, when it starts to turn black, right? So that's when it's really gross. So that's like, that's maror. That's bitter. Rosh Hashanah always quotes Professor Felix that horseradish is not really maror, and they only used it because they lived in so many Jews lived in climates where they didn't have easy access to real maror, to lettuce, so they used horseradish because they just took something that had a very bad taste. But it's not even a mar, it's more of a charifus than it is a marirus. But anyway, so in the context of discussing maror in Maseches Pesachim, we'll get to it soon in the Daf Yomi, the Gemara talks about maror mevushal. So the Mishnah says you can't be yotze with maror that's cooked, nor with maror that is Kavush. Ooh, so that indicates Kavush kimavushal on a Daraisa level, that it has a din of mavushal, that it's actually mavushal. It could be that it's not such a great raya, though, and Pashtus is not a great raya at all. Why is it that you have a problem with maror that is mavushal? What's the problem with maror that's mavushal?
Because
Why can't you use cooked maror? What's so terrible about cooked maror? Tamar, bina tamar, v'leka. Right? That's how the Chazanish thinks, bina tamar even. Right? That it's not enough to have tamar. You need tamar. You need to taste bit. But we assume that it at least has to taste like maror. That's what the Nesivus has in his Haggadah, the Maisa Nisim Haggadah, in the very first passage. He says, by the way, I think that if you grind up your horseradish, you're losing the tam of the merirus, and mela, you're not going to be able to yotze the mitzvah because you don't have tam marer. So you have to eat like, you know, like bite off a chunk of horseradish. Just keep Hatzalah's number handy if you try that. So you're not going to have tam marer. So once you're dealing with tam marer, so it's not so such a stretch to say that if something is kavush, it's going to lose the tam marer. Right, there are some people that are makbid to dafka grind it up like right before Yantif starts because they don't want it to lose that, and then they immediately cover it in saran wrap or something. They don't want it to lose that tam. So it's not a din in bishul per se when it comes to mar. It's a din in tam, and it's not going to have the tam anymore. So that lechara is not a raya at all. Third place to perhaps look for a raya. The Gemara Maseches Beitza, another place where we need a tafshil, the Gemara Maseches Beitza and Maseches Pesachim talks about Eruv Tafshilin. So for Eruv Tafshilin, there is a machlokas tanaim, whether you need both a cooked food and a baked item. Certainly if you don't plan on baking, cooked food is good enough, you don't need a baked item at all. But a machlokas, whether you need, if you want to bake also, do you need a cooked food and a baked item, or just a cooked food? But one thing everyone agrees on is that you need a cooked food for Eruv Tafshilin. The practice is, most common practice when people use Eruv Tafshilin, a matzah and an egg. Why dafka an egg, a cooked egg? So I just thought the simple svar of why people use an egg, there are all sorts of vartlach about what an egg represents and this and that, but the pashtus of why people use an egg, first of all, it's cheap, but the reason people use an egg, pashtus, is that the shear has to be a kazayis. So one thing you could be absolutely certain is more than a kazayis is a beta. Right, meaning whatever your shear kazayis is, a beitz is bigger than a zayis. Right, that's like the next level up. So that way, you make sure that you have the right shear of food. So anyway, so the Gemara in the second paragraph of Maseches Beitza tells us that there's a din of eruv tafshilin, and kavush works for eruv tafshilin. That for mevushal, it's good enough if it's kavush. So maybe that's a raya that it's kumavushal mamish. So also, it's not a perfect raya because eruv tafshilin. To begin with, the whole concept of Erev Tafshilin, the whole need to make an Erev Tafshilin is only Midrabanan. Of course, you have the Machlokas and the Gemara, whether Midah or Raisa, you're allowed to cook on Yanta for Shabbos, or Midah Raisa, you're not allowed to, whatever it is, the Erev Tafshilin, whatever the mechanism of the Heter is, Erev Tafshilin is an institution Midrabanan. So what we call Tavshil for Erev Tafshilin is not necessarily the definition of what would be Tavshil as far as Dinim Daraisa. So the problem is that the Gemara says in Maseches Beitza that what if I have something that's salted? Can I use that for Erev Tafshilin? The Gemara says no. Meliach Kiroseach does not work for Erev Tafshilin. So you can say the whole thing is only drabanan, so I don't really need mevushal, so I could just do whatever. Well, then why can't you just do whatever with maliach kroseach also? Why don't we apply the principle of maliach kroseach? Why would there be a difference between kavushka mevushal, which is not good enough for erev tafshil, and maliach kroseach, which is good enough for erev tafshil? That leads you to believe that maliach kroseach is not a real, it's not literally kiroseach, whereas kavushka mevushal really is kimavushal. Not a raya though. It's not a raya, because again, the whole thing is drabanan, and you have to figure out maybe maliach is not as kiroseach as kavush is kimavushal, but it's still not necessarily true that it's a din daraisa, that it's that on a daraisa level it has a din of bishul. A fourth place potentially to look. There is a not in Shas now, just moving beyond that. You know, it's sort of in Shas, but there's a comment that Chasam Sofer has in Tshuvin, Yeridaya, Simin Pei Aleph, and it's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva at the end of Simin Pei Zayin. We already saw this Pesachei Tshuva, where the Chasam Sofer suggests that on Sukkos you should be careful to take your lulav and your hadassim out of the water on Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not going to use your lulav. So what people would do is they would leave it soaking in water over Shabbos. So Chassam Sofer says you better get a guy to take it out sometime in the middle of Shabbos, because Shabbos is more than 24 hours. You're going to leave it in the water over Shabbos. It's going to be mavushal, and dalid minim that is mavushal is pasul. So that would seem to indicate that it's mamish mavushal, because if it's just about plios, if it's just about transference of tam, who cares that it gets some of the lulav gets tam of the water? Why does that matter? No, there's a psul of bishul when it comes to dalid minim, and even Pesach Teshuva questions the whole assumption of the Chasam Sofer, but not because he questions the whole kavush kamavushal element. He just says mehechi tesi that there's this isur of mavushal on a piece of wood, on a branch, on an esrog that's mavushal is a problem. An esrog is food. But lulav, hadasim, that's mehechitesi, that's going to be a problem if it's mavushal. So that would seem, you know, that Chasam Sofer at least would seem to indicate that he's working with the assumption that kavushka mavushal is mavushal mamish, but it's not a raya from a Gemara. That's certainly not going to bother the Prima Gadim, because let the Chasam Sofer say whatever he wants.
Why wouldn't he say there's an issue of bishul on Shabbos? Like, aside from the fact
no, you put it in beforehand, before Shabbos. Shehiyah. And it's like, So again, fundamental machlokes prim gadin versus the placey, as far as kavush is kumavushal mamish or not. We thought maybe a raya from Hilcha Shabbos, that the Ram says aser, but we're not sure what he means. Is it daraisa drabanan and the prim gadin and the placey are perfectly consistent in how they understand that Rambam. Marer mevushal, where you can't be yotze marer, but we said that's not a great raya because that's all about tam marer. Eruv tavshilin, which we thought can't be a raya at all because the whole thing is only derabbanan, so who cares that kavushka mevushal by eruv tavshilin? But then we said no, maybe it is a little bit of a raya because muliach karoseach doesn't work for eruv tavshilin, but still not the most convincing raya since everything that we're dealing with over there is only midrabbanan. And then you have this possibility by dalin minim as well, that the Chasam Sofer thought kavushka mevushal is going to apply to dalin minim. Now the next step is, what is the shear of kavush kumavushal? Meaning, how much kavisha is needed in order for it to become mavushal? So basically, there are three shitas. One shita, well, I don't know, we'll try to get through it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about, and Beis Yosef quotes all of this, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses milui v'iroi, for kashering kalim from stam yena. So what do? You fill it up, let it soak for 24 hours, pour out the water, fill it up again, 24 hours, pour it out, fill it up, 24 hours, pour it out, and that way you've kashered the barrels that had sonin, that had cold stam yenam in them, you've now kashered out those barrels. So the Mordechai, Maseches Beitza, and the Ostaf Reshai and Dalid, quoted by the Beis Yosef over here, assumes that is utilizing the principle of kavush. So the Mordechai quotes Rishonim that you need 3 days for kavush kumavushal, right? Meaning, how do we just kabbalah kach polto? The same way you could be polate the tam from the barrels by three consecutive 24-hour periods. That's how you're mavliya tam into the barrels by three straight days. So kavush kumavushal in the eyes of the Mordechai takes 72 hours. The Rush, however, disagrees. And the Rush says that Stam Yenam is a separate din, does not relate to Kavush Kumavushal. The real source is the Gemara about the Chiddush of Basar B'chalav in Maseches Pesachim. Now what did it say? Itar le kule yom b'chalba. Now what's the Chiddush of Basar B'chalav? You sit there and you soak the meat all day in milk, all day. It's not going to be a problem, but in the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula it is a problem when something soaks all day. So that clearly the Gemara is trying to tell us that all day is the shear. So the Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Rosh, V'shamati b'shem ritzba, di'imsha b'tochu yom shalim eis leis nikro kavush u'bolea u'polit kimavushal. V'raya midamrinun b'chulin, he says midamrinun b'chulin, but the Gemara doesn't really say it in the chulin, it says in Pesachim emdalinim beis, basa b'chalav chidushu, di'itari le'kule yoma b'chal v'shari. Why is that a chiddush of basar b'chalav? You put cold together with cold, it never causes anything below bala. Elavade zeu chidusho. Di kolish nishar b'torah avakav disan mitzan lo bala im sharo yom shalem nesu mitam kavush. That in Shari Surim, you're right, Tzonim is not going to be Balea, but you leave it there a whole day, and it does. And the Chiddush by Bas Mechal said it doesn't, even 24 hours soaking. So Lashon the Gemara was Kula Yoma, which implies that it works in 24 hours. We paskin like the Rush, that it's Chavtal Shalos, it's 24 hours. What does Rush do about the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? The Gemara of Al-Zor was very clear, 72 hours, 3 times 24, Kankanim shall akum, shabalu yayin, night yayin esach betzonein, it requires milu viru 3 times. So probably he would answer that the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed tells us that HaTorah hi ida al kli cheres she'en yotzim yidei dafi le'olam. That when you deal with kli cheres, the bleos of kli cheres never ever come out. So even though we assume that it's bolea betzonein, that if it's Bolei B'tzon, you can extract the tam, that's only through this more intense process, because we're talking about Klei Cheres over there. So since it's about Klei Cheres, normally, in order to extract the tam from Bleos in a Kli, you would only need 24 hours. But if you're talking about Klei Cheres, it's going to take longer, because HaTori Yidah She'en Yotzim Midei Dofin Le'olam, that it never comes out of the Dofin HaKli. This also might relate to the Machlokas, whether you could do Haga'olah on a kli cheres shabala b'tzonin. Let's say you have a kli cheres who's boleya, but only through tzonin, only through stam yenim or whatever. So does hagala work? The Gemara says mili v'iroi works, right? So does hagala work as well? So the Rashba in Taras Abayis quotes Ramban that there's never any hagala by a kli cheres. It cannot work, even if it was boleya b'tzonin. Whereas the Rashba himself on Samach Vavim Beis Avodah Zarah says that Hagala works on Kli Cheres B'tzonin. So maybe, suggesting, if Hagala does not work, that would be an indication that Miloi V'Iroi is stronger than Hagala. What would that tell you about whether you need Miloi V'Iroi, the criteria of Miloi V'Iroi for Kavush? It would sound like not. I mean, why would you need something stronger than Hagala? Right, that's like stronger than cooking. Kavush is kim mavushal. It doesn't have to be bigger than mavushal. So that would mean it's certainly stronger than regular kavush. If hagala does work, then there's room to say that milui v'iroi is a normal way of transferring bleos. In which case, maybe that's exactly what kavush kim mavushal is. Lanias daiti. If you look in Shiurei Rav, Simon Sadi Aleph Os Aleph, he has a different explanation of that machlokas, but that's where I thought to take that machlokas. Now, the issue of Hagala by Kli Cheres may be relevant to those who want a kasher glass for Pesach. And this Rav Salvation points out. Because since we paskin like the Ramah, that for Pesach you treat Kli Zechuchas like Kli Cheres, so Rav Salvation points out that if a person waited too long and it's ready within 3 days of Pesach, so they don't have time for milui v'iroi, but they want to kasher their glass utensils for Pesach. So what do you do? If you speak to like real old timers that grew up in this country where no one had any money, right? They'll tell you that they remember the bathtub being full of glasses for 3 days before Pesach. That people would do this. They'd fill up the bathtub with glasses, and then 24 hours, drain the bathtub, turn it on again, and soak for 3 days. Now it's like, you know, like the glasses you buy in Bed Bath & Beyond, like you throw them out when you're done with the meal. You know, like they shatter all over the kitchen floor, you sweep up, okay, I guess we'll buy new ones for next week. But the kashering glass, if you haven't done it within 3 days before Yontif. So Salvage points out that if a person waited too long and it's ready within 3 days of Pesach, they could rely on the Rashba that you could do Agal instead of Milui V'Iroi. Okay. Now, there is a third sheet. Again, so what do we have so far? We have the Mordechai that it's 72 hours. We have the Rosh that it's 24 hours. There is a third sheet on what this will close. The third sheet is the Prima Gadim in the Sif Seidas, Sof Sif Katan Vav, Kotzer Riva. That happens in 12 hours. Where on earth did he get 12 hours from? So probably, the Gemara says, Itaru Kulei Yama. Yom can mean two things. Yom can mean Yom Vilayla, like a calendar Yom, or Yom can mean Yom as opposed to Laila, like a daytime day. So it's like an ona. So it's kuliyama means a full ona, full 12-hour time period. Again, the halacha we paskin that it's 24 hours, not 72 hours, not 12 hours, right down the middle. We paskin that it's 24 hours. So Be'ez Hashem, next time, tomorrow's Tuesday. So next time on Wednesday, we'll talk about what kind of liquid. We'll talk about kavush kumavushal as it relates to kalim, and we'll talk about what the Ramah talks about with mixas kavush, that there's part of it is kavush and part of it is sticking out of the liquid, and then we'll move on to klisheni, which is Be'ez Hashem, which is the next major topic. So okay, have a great day, everybody.